Yo, it's your boy Vic Raw. I've been out of the mix. Ooh. I've been in the cut. And I'm here to say what's up. Welcome to a new episode of Behind the Design, and we have no other than Sierra. Please, you know, introduce yourself. Who are you? Where are you from? And why are you doing design today?
Sure. Hey, guys. My name is Sierra McCormick. I have a business called Best World Art, or just Best World for short, where I create album art as well as do surrealism and graphic design for various companies and clients. So a little bit about myself. My background's in business. That's what I went to school for. I also live in Ottawa, and I'm really into kind of like doing like nature things, like nature hikes and that kind of stuff, as well as working with other artists, going to music festivals before the pandemic, interviewing musical artists during the pandemic virtually. So usually I'd be on the flip side of this, but so this is a little bit different for me, but I'm really excited to be here, and thanks for having me.
Thank you. And, you know, it's very interesting, you know, like what you said in your intro. And I would say it's more along the lines of business, like you went to school for business. So you went to school for business, and what brought you to, you know, into the like more creative in the design space today?
Yeah, for sure. So I was really inspired by a lot of my friends. So growing up, I've always been surrounded by really musically like talented people. So I've been friends with people who are in bands like across the world and that kind of stuff, as well as just like friends in my hometown in Ottawa, as well as artists. So I've been very inspired from them. My background is in business, and I did work in government for a while, but I couldn't do it anymore kind of thing. Like I got really bored with it really quickly. I've always really loved music. So like I know how to play a few instruments and whatnot, but I just got really bored at work one day and I'm really into art and reading and stuff, and also just like inspired by so many of my friends around me that I just kind of started picking up. I started learning how to do like design skills on Photoshop and like Procreate and stuff. And I started getting like good at it, and my friends kept on encouraging me to like, okay, like you're actually really good at this, like keep on going. So that's kind of my starting point. Yeah, that's kind of how I started.
All right, so you know, let's continue on with the journey. So you know, went to school for business, graduate, you're in the business world, and you're like, this is okay, it's not really satisfying, it's not really fulfilling. And then from there, it was, okay, you got started with Photoshop, and your friends are encouraging you, and you know, everything else is happening. So what is that catalyst that got you from, okay, you know, I'm messing around in Photoshop, my friends are encouraging me to, you know, being able to work on commissions and, you know, people probably, you know, reaching out to you, seeking your work and seeking your services. How did that happen?
Yeah, for sure. So again, in Ottawa, I got really like into kind of the art community here with musicians and bands and other visual artists. So I started off basically doing small art shows before the pandemic hit. So I've only been doing this for around a year and a half. And right before the pandemic hit, I got really lucky to do some like live kind of like art shows and that kind of stuff, and other collaborations with other artists who had a really large following. So I just got very lucky in doing collaborations with them. And then people kept on finding me on Instagram and whatnot, and then started to DM me and be like, hey, like, we really like your work. We have a new EP coming out. Can you please do the album artwork for this? And then I kind of started from there. So yeah.
Nice. And so what would you say are like your biggest inspirations?
For sure. So I have like a few of them. I've talked about like my friends a little bit. I have like my hometown friends that live here in Ottawa right now. Sarah Armstrong, Jasmine Trails, and Juliana Lachance are my best friends, and they all make art as well. They make visual art as well as do music. So I'm always inspired by them. For more visual artists, I'd say like my like top like three like favorite people are probably Salvador Dali, MC Escher, and Claude Monet. Those are my favorite like three visual artists of all time. And for music, I'd have to go with David Byrne from the Talking Heads, Frank Ocean, and Tame Impala. I think those are my three tops. Although like I love music so much, and it's so hard. Like you almost get inspired by everything around you. So it's kind of a hard question to ask.
Exactly. And you know, that question was not just like limited to design, right? Like, you know, I don't know, like maybe a little like case can inspire someone. You never know. you know, side tangent question, what is your favorite Frank Ocean project?
So the probably Channel Orange, actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. He's had such good like progress on all his other albums. So I remember listening to that for the first time when I was a teenager and just being blown away by it. And I still listen to it now. So to me, it's kind of timeless. Yeah. And that's why I love it so much.
Okay, so let's get into the creative process. You know, a lot of people do different things. And you know, at the end of the day, whatever works for you is whatever works for you. Yeah, can you walk us through your creative process, like when you're designing something? And would you say, like, you know, oftentimes like designers are working on things that are for their clients, and then they're also doing stuff maybe in their free time that they're inspired by and they want to do. Like, does that creative process differ in both scenarios? And if so, how?
Yeah, so basically for me, like it always varies, but there is like a kind of like base kind of way I go about doing my work, which is usually I have some music on in the background. Okay. Or if I'm doing work for a client, then I'd have their music on while just kind of like brainstorming ideas and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I'd also be drinking a lot of coffee because that's what I do all the time. So I always have a coffee. I have coffee on me right now. But yeah, I'd just be listening to their music or just music I like in general. And then usually I get inspiration from the lyrics. So for me, like when I'm making a project, I usually get inspiration from either reading books, like sentences in books that like kind of like draw my imagination to like other places, as well as lyrics. And like through those lyrics, like if they're dreamy or whatnot, I will like take kind of the overall like vibe of what I'm getting in my head and like try to make it into a visual. And to do that process, I go to like archive like vintage magazines and kind of like have a bunch of images like kind of downloaded onto my laptop. Mm-hmm. And then I will distort them and then like put them like all together in a way with like different layers and effects. Yeah. So it kind of looks cohesive. But it's a different thing. Like it's definitely a different process every single time, and it just depends on what kind of mood I am in and also just like what kind of music I'm listening to.
Gotcha. okay. And you know, like what would you say is like your design stack or tech stack, meaning like, you know, what programs do you use? Do you utilize any plugins? Is there like anything like extraordinary that you do that maybe, you know, gives you additional sauce in like, you know, all of the work that you present?
Yeah, for sure. So I download a lot of like presets for kind of like different like gradient layers as well as just like text layers and all that stuff. And I'll pay for it and whatnot. But a lot of different like there, you can buy like gradient packages online and support other artists. And then I find those are really, really useful because then if you know how to do your layers and whatnot on Photoshop, then you're able to like kind of like distort each image or like put different kind of like textures on each image, which I find really useful because that's what people mostly say about my work. It's like they're all like, oh, it looks so vintage and stuff like that. And it looks like it's cohesive and it's together. Well, it helps if you know like how to use the different layers and like there's different, all a bunch of different kind of like grain settings you can use to make things look retro and stuff. So, yeah.
Mm. And like, would you like, in terms of, and it's always an interesting question, because like I asked other designers, like, oh, like they're like, yeah, I'll use like plugins and I use like presets. Like, would you say like you're actively looking for it, or like where do you find these, you know, plugins and presets that you is it more like, okay, you stumble on it through an advert, or you see someone using it and then you want to use it, or is there like a spot where you're always searching for it and you're like, okay, like I'm gonna take that one?
Yeah, so sometimes I see them on ads, especially like grainy related ones. I feel like they just know their target now. I feel like the Instagram algorithm just knows I'm like, I love that stuff. So I see some of those for Procreate, like a True Gritty Texture Supply or something. It's like, I see that one all the time. It just adds like graininess to your photos and does a bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. So I definitely use Photoshop the most, as well as Procreate. Sometimes I'll use Illustrator, and sometimes I'll also use Photoshop to animate things, because I only do like really short animations, so it's pretty straightforward, so I don't need any platforms for that. But yeah, I guess I'm mostly targeted in ads, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
So it's like you're just scrolling through the gram and, oh, let me just check that out.
Yeah, they're really good at that now. I have no idea. Like, Instagram's like algorithm for like knowing what you want is kind of scary nowadays. But yeah.
Yeah. No, it's definitely interesting. And okay, so you know, you walked us through your journey, you know, how you got started, and also how you were able to build a name for yourself and get work and get commissions. Can you talk about, you know, can you talk a little bit about like the downsides, or like, you know, things that, you know, as a designer, you would prefer not to engage with or interact with, but, you know, it just comes with the business?
Yeah, for sure. So I find like the upsides of being like a freelancer are also the downsides. So for example, like being your own boss can be really hard sometimes. And it's definitely like a learn as you go process, especially when dealing with clients, because every single client is different.
Yeah.
So therefore it's like a learning experience. I remember when I first started, I got some pretty big, like I had to build some pretty big contracts and work with different record labels. And that was really new to me and really daunting. So definitely like being your own boss can be scary at times, but it is worth it. Also obviously like time management, it can be your best friend or your worst friend. Like, if you don't know how to manage your time, you're kind of screwed.
Yeah.
So I think that those are two really big things. And also like, yeah, just making sure you, like, as a freelancer, you want to make sure that you're like protected and stuff like that, and you know what you're doing with commissions and whatnot. So I'd honestly recommend learning how to kind of like build contracts for yourself. Like, it's a lot more difficult than people think. People just think, oh, you just put your art out there and it just like all happens for you and it's like super easy and there's no like technical side to it. But like at the end of the day, there is a lot of like background stuff you have to go through, and it's very difficult. So yeah, just, I guess like learning, like not the laws or anything, but just making sure you like know what you're doing, I guess.
No, 1000%. And it's interesting that you bring that in. And would you say like your business background also, you know, helped you in terms of getting the contracts together?
Honestly, it didn't at all. Business school did not prepare me for that. I just was, that's why I said it was kind of like a trial and error and learning from different clients. So I've had, when I first started off, I didn't really build contracts. I just kind of like send emails back and forth and be like, hey, like, they'd be like, okay, let's do this. I want you to make my album. I said, sure. And then we wouldn't have a contract. I wouldn't really be like laying out exactly what I'd be doing for them.
Yeah.
And sometimes like all the clients have been like, I've been really lucky and I've had really, really good clients so far. Like I haven't had any disasters, so I'm really happy for that.
Yeah.
But sometimes people just, they want like more and more edits on things, and it gets really, really time consuming. Then you don't end up really getting your like money's worth, because you're like spending like 30 hours on one project when you thought they just wanted like one specific thing. So I think that's why contracts are good, because you can just kind of, exactly put like what you're going to be doing. Like, for example, just like schedule in, okay, like I'll meet with you like two times, talk about your vision, and then we'll go over all of this stuff. And then like, I'll do like three edits for you. After the third edit, it's going to cost more because that's like more time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like new artists, especially starting out, may not know their worth as an artist and like what their creativity is worth. And it's worth a lot more than what people think. Like, you have to really defend yourself in that case. And like, if someone's commissioning you, you just can't like get pushed around, you know? So.
Yeah, no, like you said a lot of things, and I think, like, you know, sometimes like clients will come in and they're just like, oh, okay, like I think the main thing is that most of them don't necessarily have a barometer, meaning like, you know, they just see it and they're like, oh, okay, well, you're a designer, you're art, like, you should be glad that I'm even offering you money. But I'm like, but at the same time, I don't think they understand like the time, the effort. And besides like the effort that you're putting into the project, it's all the time and energy and skills that you built up prior to even get to that place. So it's definitely a lot going on in that sense. Moving on. So like, let's say, you know, I am an up and coming designer that basically doesn't know anything about contracts, or let's say there's another person that's starting. Like, what things should, you know, designers be aware about and integrating within their contracts and making sure that these things are crystal clear so that, you know, they're not, you know, spending extra time like on revisions, and they're not like realizing, oh, wow, like I should have had this in case like it came up.
For sure. So the first thing I'd recommend is just like honestly getting to know who you're working for, like on a personal level. So therefore, like, not a lot of, like, for me, like, I haven't had a lot of bad things happen working with clients, just because, like, I'm a pretty personable person and able to talk through things really well. So keeping an honest, like, a good, honest line of communication back and forth is really, really important. Mm-hmm. Also, just, like, don't accept projects you think are going to be a problem. Like, if you getting a feel for someone and you have, like, a Zoom call with them to kind of discuss what their visions are or stuff, you get a good vibe of what their personality is like. And since you're your own boss, just don't take any clients you don't want to work for. Like, that's my number one piece of advice, and that's got me pretty far. So to integrate into your contracts, what I would put is just exactly what services you're going to be providing, how much hours of time you're going to put in, just like do your like base costs and that kind of stuff. And just make sure that like both parties are okay with what the contract says and stuff, and going over it together, like virtually, or when I guess things are opening back up now, so you can do it in person. It's been such a long time. But I would just recommend doing that and making sure you have all your bases covered, but also don't make it too businessy. Like, you want the person to like you and to come back to you, especially if you're working for record labels, so you want to treat them like a friend, and they will end up being your friend probably. Like, you build really good relationships with a bunch of cool people in the industry, so
most definitely. And I really like the fact that you bring up where it's like, I think sometimes, you know, there's a lot of power in saying yes, but I think no's are very, very underrated, whether it may be, you know, someone comes with a nice like package and it looks nice and you're just like, all the stuff that they're asking me, it's not worth it. Or it may also be like, you know, like you said, you hop on a Zoom call, you're able to get a feel for their personality, and then you're like, all right, like this person may be super, super type A, and like, it may not be in my best interest, especially if you know, like, you know, you guys aren't on the same wavelength, no pun intended. But other than that, like, what other tips and tricks would you share, like, to the design community outside of contracts and, you know, the certain plugins that you use?
Yeah, for sure. I'd recommend getting involved with your local communities to start off, because that's where all the change you're going to be able to make, like physically get to know other artists around your area, support their art for sure. Because once you have a big community, it's nice you can bounce ideas off of each other, and then you can collaborate with each other, which is like the great thing about being an artist. Like you have two cool brains working on things together, so that's really fun. So collaborating with as many people as you can, especially when you're first starting off, I think is really a good idea to do, because you just learn so much from other creative people. And if it wasn't like for me collaborating with other people and learning off my friends, like I probably wouldn't ever be here today. So just staying open-minded, I guess, and being able to like learn from other people, as well as just like being around other creatives, taking their design tips, taking kind of like, I don't know, just like taking everything in and like living in the moment, I guess.
Yeah. If you could have, you know, a dream client, like meaning like, all right, this person commissioned you to create any type of design project, who would that be?
I have two of them. One would be doing like a film poster for David Lynch. He has some really good movies. He has like some good dreamlike qualities in his movies, and they're kind of like eerie. So I'd really like to do something with him. That would be amazing. Or Kevin Parker from Tame Impala. I love Tame Impala. So anything that's kind of like psychedelic and trippy, like doing album art for that would be amazing. And I would love that.
Wow, like that sounds like a plan. And hey, like, you know, the time is still ticking. Like, who knows? Like, it can still happen. Other than that, I don't know. Do you have like any questions that you have for us, or like anything like in the interview that we weren't able to cover that you would like to share?
Yeah, I guess like I would ask like other, if I had to ask an artist a question, it would kind of just be like, why did you choose the artist path over kind of like a straight route path? So that'd be one question. And then like, I think you've already asked me kind of like what inspires me and whatnot, but I would also ask that to other artists just to learn more about them. I think it's a good question. And like what got you into design? Cause I think there's always different stories to it, and they're all interesting in my opinion. Cause usually you have to make that logical decision to be like, okay, like I'm going to go off of the traditional path and do something completely different. And it's interesting to hear people's stories.
Yeah. No, thank you. And it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast, Sierra. We're looking forward to all the stuff that you're going to do. And, you know, if you ever get those commissions from those dream clients, please let us know so we can congratulate you and shout you out.
All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Take care.